Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Total Onslaught when we come back. You know, Charles Lyell is one of the pillars of modern geology, and he published his Principles of Geology back in the early 1800s. Lyell's concepts are so widely accepted today that most people who believe them don't even know who it was that originated these ideas. But it's from Lyell's system of reasoning that a doctrine of origins has been devised by simply projecting all of the natural processes back through time indefinitely. And in that way, catastrophes like Noah's flood have been strictly ruled out. And then the word science has been applied to this philosophy. Well, listen to this. Here's a headline that says, "The sun is shrinking." That was a Newswire report. It was made by a very surprising statement. And that is, the sun's diameter appears to have been decreasing by about 1/10 per century. That's 1/10 percent per century. And scientists have been watching this now for more than 100 years, and the evidence is now conclusive. Every hour, the sun is shrinking by about 5 feet. Now, if the sun is shrinking 1/10 percent per century, then it totals 1% per millennium. Now, if the sun existed only 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. And only 20 million years ago, the surface of the sun would be touching the Earth. And as far as researchers can tell, this rate of shrinkage has been consistent since the origin of the sun. Now, we all went to school, didn't we? And what did our teachers tell us about the dinosaur extinction? They told us that was 65 million years ago, remember? But only 20 million years ago, the sun would have had to have been 93 million miles in diameter, and there would be no Earth here. Now, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do the math on these kinds of pseudoscientific lies. And that's just one more of the many examples of evolutionary propaganda that masquerades under the banner of science. And that's one of the many lessons that we teach in our Mosaic Law School that we conduct twice a year here at the Law School in Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. It doesn't cost you anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, and it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request. Or better yet, you can download it direct, right off of our archives page. So if you go to georgegordon.org, hit the archives page and you can download it right there. All right, we've been talking about a set of DVDs called Total Onslaught. I've got seven of them here that I want to finish up with today. And at the same time, I wanted to point out that all of us are at a different level of understanding. My understanding is greater than some, and other people have greater understanding than I have in other areas. I mentioned that the other day. We're talking about nuclear physics. I don't know how to build an atomic bomb. I wouldn't know where to start. There are people who can do that, and those are pretty smart people. No two ways about that. But I can lay pipe, and I can clear drains. I can plumb. And I'll bet you that the average nuclear physicist probably couldn't plumb his own house. I mean, he couldn't lay that thing out and get water to run downhill. Now, he could learn, just like I could probably learn how to make an atomic bomb, and that's my point. We can learn the truth of the scripture, but the problem that we have to overcome is vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Those are the five motivators of human nature. So in the last program, I pointed out some books that I had read where somebody had straightened me out on a doctrinal issue. You'll remember I pointed out Whitcomb and Morris wrote the Genesis flood, and I found out that the flood wasn't local like I had been taught by our Sunday school teacher and our church doctrine. But rather, the flood was, in fact, worldwide. Now, the book of Proverbs makes this statement more than once. It says, "A fool answers before he has heard the whole matter." A fool answers before he has heard the whole matter. So, when somebody says to me that this or that is so, or this or that is true, or this is what the Bible says, or this is what so-and-so said, as a matter of practice, I listen. And then I run that through my computer and I say, well, now, have I ever heard any contrary evidence to this? Do I know better than this? Is there any source of information that I can go to disprove this? On the one hand, just because somebody says it doesn't make it true, but on the other hand, when somebody tells you something, to dismiss it out of hand without proving all things, which is what the scripture exhorts us to do, is foolishness. I mentioned when we started this series of programs, a man sent me an email and he said, "You're going to hell because you've got a living spouse." He got that. That's Roman Catholicism. That's the doctrine from the Roman Church. And they got that from Matthew 5, verse 32. Matthew 5, 32 is a mistranslation. It's incorrect. But if you went to Luke 16, 18, you'd get the correct translation. You put the two of them together with Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, now you've got the divorce statute. I didn't write it. I'm just a reporter. I'm not in violation of the divorce statute. Now, that man probably will go to his grave believing that the divorce statute in Deuteronomy 24 has been abolished and nailed to the cross with Jesus. But, again, that's good religion, but it's bad law, and it's not true. Now, I presume that what we're after here is that we want the truth of the Scripture rather than the fables of men. If that's the case, then we need to be guided by the Scripture rather than by the doctrines of the catechism or this or that church or this or that organization. And this is what I brought to your attention here with this series of DVDs called Total Onslaught. This guy has something here that's worth it's worth looking at so that we can all learn from it. But it's got some errors in it. Got some errors. And I don't want to be associated with the errors, but I want to give this guy full credit for what he has discovered. So I pointed out to you, Whitcomb and Morris explained to me the Genesis 6, 7, and 8 worldwide flood. Now I can understand that. And I can understand it scientifically, and I can prove it. Then on Joshua's long day, the guy that steered me in the right direction was a fellow by the name of Rimmer. And in the book that Rimmer wrote back in 1936, Harry Rimmer is his name. It's called The Harmony of Science and Scripture, by the way, and I told you you need a copy of that. He mentioned Charles Totten's book on Joshua's Long Day, which I got from Miramac Publishers and a guy named Howard Rand, who straightened me out on Joshua's Long Day and gave me the scientific information. Hey, you can prove Joshua's Long Day occurred. Now, as I speak, last night there was a lunar eclipse. And the last time that this lunar eclipse occurred on the winter solstice, that is December the 21st, was in 1638. They made one more prediction. They said the next time that we're going to have a lunar eclipse on the winter solstice is going to be in 2094. Now, I did not know that the last one was in 1638, and I had no way of knowing that the next one is going to be in 2094. But for astronomers, to calculate that is no big deal. Now, back at the time when Joshua's long day occurred, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Syrians, the Persians, and the Chinese were all keeping track of astronomical movements of the sun, moon, stars, and planets. And when you compare those calculations today, you find that Joshua's long day did occur and that there is a day missing in time. And that's what Totten demonstrated in 1892. And listen, he didn't have a computer, he had a slide rule. This information isn't something that was discovered by NASA in the last 10 or 15 years. This was discovered by a Yale astronomer in 1892 and published. And none of the churches, you've never heard Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Jerry Falwell, or the Pope ever say, the Bible is true and we can prove it. In fact, just the opposite is true. All of these religious leaders subscribe to these new perverted Bibles like the NIV and New King James and so on, which have taken out 64,000 words and have changed the meaning of hundreds of scriptures in the Bible for the express purpose of deceiving us. The religious leaders and the political leaders working together have accomplished that goal. Now, for you and I, we're sitting here on the sidelines, you know, Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewives. I would like to know the truth of the Scripture and let the chips fall where they may. So I brought that to your attention. Now, I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't read it from Harry Rimmer and Charles Totten. But now that I know it, you can know it also because I just told you the source of information. And remember that story I told you about Irwin Schiff? I said, listen, I'm going to tell you what I know. And then you're going to add that on to what you know, and you're going to be smarter than I am. Now, all of you listeners out there can do the same thing. I don't know what you know. And I just told you what I know. You should be smarter than I am now. And after all, that's what we're here for. All right, now, with that much out of the way, let me go over here to Total Onslaught. He's got number 229. Now, remember, this goes from 201 to 236. There's 36 DVDs. They run about 90 minutes each. This one here happens to be 71 minutes. It's called God's Guiding Gift, number 229. One of the distinguishing features of the organization that counters Satan's kingdom, as brought forth in Revelation 12 and 14, is that they have the testimony of Jesus, which is explained to be the spirit of prophecy. So does God still speak to modern man amongst the array of prophets claiming to have messages from God? Is there a voice that comes from the throne of grace? And how do you identify a true prophet? And what does the Bible reveal on this issue? Now, there are prophets that we see being touted in the National Enquirer, like Gene Dixon and Nostradamus. And the test of a prophet is, well, did these prophecies come to pass? And if they came to pass, the future prophecies that are being prophesied, If they come to pass, you'll know that that was a prophet from God. And if they don't, you'll know that he was a false prophet and he needs to be stoned. Well, I've been reading the National Enquirer and Star and the rest of these tabloids, and I listened to these predictions that California is going to fall into the ocean and blah, blah, blah. None of it ever happens. It's just poppycock. And then somebody says, well, here's a guy that predicted the assassination of John F. Kennedy 3 weeks before it happened. Maybe he did, but did it ever occur to anybody that that was a demonism? He got it off of a Ouija board? I mean, there are miracles that go on, and there's a story here that he's got that deals with miracles. You know, this lying false prophet is going to call fire down from heaven in the sight of men, and it will deceive the very elect if it were possible. So the average Joe Sixpack, he's a slam dunk for deception, if even the elect might be deceived by some of these miracles. And by the way, miracles are not the proof of the Creator. And the Messiah told you that plainly. John the Baptist worked no miracles, and he said there's never been a man born among women greater than John the Baptist. Never did a miracle. Now, miracles are certainly impressive, no two ways about that, but that is not the final proof. It's evidence, but not proof. The second one here, this is number 228 in today's review, A Stone to Rest Your Head, which deals with an expose of Revelation chapter 10, which reveals the counterpart to the beast, which is to arise out of the bottomless pit, the kingdom of evil. It exposes the organization which God raises up to counter the myriad of errors which Satan places in the world to rob man of his salvation. And it's this organization which is to be empowered with a special message of warning, and it arises at the right time in Bible prophecy to herald an everlasting gospel of salvation in Christ and the faithfulness to his word. Now, as we go through each and every one of these, there's a story to be told in a lecture. So he goes through this lecture step by step. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Each lecture is, even by itself, a total lesson. If you only had one of the DVDs, you would have a total lesson. It would add to the total fund of knowledge that you're trying to put together for yourself. As a result of that, if you only had 1, 2, 5, or 9, they would be well worth the money. But it's an entire series of programs. And this entire series of programs takes you from A, that's the Garden of Eden, to the Second Coming, which is yet future. Hang on a second. Pick up another package here. Now, in these DVDs, 36 of them are entitled Total Onslaught, and they tell the entire story of history, including the prophecy of Daniel and Revelation, of which, without Daniel, you can't decode Revelation, and without Revelation, you cannot decode Daniel. The two go together. Now, I don't know if the Seventh-day Adventists have some kind of a special gift of prophecy, and these are the only people that have it. I can't say that. I'm just telling you that this guy knows more than I know about prophecy. And I was especially impressed by his presentation and the fund of knowledge that the guy has that he's imparted to me that I never knew before. And I'm pretty old, so if you're 25 years old, I could just about bet I don't think you've heard this yet, son. There's some more here for you to learn. If you're 55 years old, maybe you've already heard this and maybe you already know it. Maybe this guy's made some mistakes and you can reveal those mistakes. Now, I've got a couple here that I'm going to reveal to you. I've been going through this in each day and saying, well, I don't subscribe to that, and here's why, and here's the scripture that I'm subscribing to. But here's the moral to my story. Not everybody has the whole truth, the whole story, and I'm not claiming to have it. But I've got some pieces of it, and every time I come on the air, I say, here's a little bit more information, here's a little bit more information. And this guy here has got a fund of information, just like with Coleman Morris, just like Harry Rimmer, just like Barry Fell. Each one of them has some pieces to the puzzle. If we put those pieces together, we go back to Daniel 12, verse 10, and in the end, the wise will understand. Proverbs chapter 1 says three things now that we're looking for. This is our Creator. He says you want wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And you want those ahead of diamonds, rubies, and gold and silver. All right, got that? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. All right, now, here's the last six, and it's number 230. Earth's final warning. It's an expose of Revelation 14 with the final message of warning to the world. And the message of the three angels is clearly described as a counter to the kingdom that's being set up by the political and religious movers and shakers of our time. Now, this is the most serious warning ever given to mankind, and it culminates in the second coming of Christ, and all need to know what these messages entail. Now, in Matthew 24, the Messiah said that there's never going to be a time like this. He said this is going to be worse than Noah's flood. In Daniel chapter 12, the angel, Big Mike, told Daniel, he said, there's never been anything like this. This is going to be worse than anything that's ever happened before. Worse than Noah's flood. Now, you imagine how it can be worse than Noah's flood. I didn't write it, I'm just reporting it to you. Now, that being the case, there's one group of people that escaped this, and you'll see this in these seven churches. And this guy, Weiss, has a lecture here on these seven churches. And there's one group mentioned in Revelation 3:10. It's called the Philadelphians. God says, because you've kept the word of my patience, because you've obeyed me and kept my commandments, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. I will keep you from this great tribulation. No rapture here, kids. You're going to be disappointed with this rapture story. Now, that's New Age, that rapture thing. That concept goes back into ancient times. And that's a false doctrine. And he's got a lecture on that rapture story also. Now, I didn't subscribe to the rapture, and I learned a lot from his story, the history behind it. And you will too. But if you're expecting the rapture, 70 million evangelical Christians going to church twice a week, every Wednesday and Sunday, when it's all said and done, are going to be disappointed. And may end up getting killed in the process. Now, if you want to survive this, and you want to live through this, then you need this information. Now, the loud cry, this is chapter 231, DVD number 231. He says, a loud cry is an expose of Revelation 18. And it deals with the very final events where God describes the destruction of the powers that dominate the world events today. We take a look at the music world, the economic world, the religious world, the entertainment world. And what we see is that they're in harmony. And in this lecture, their hidden agendas will be exposed. The loud cry is the climax of warning to the world, and it's followed by the intervention of God himself in the affairs of men. In fact, Jesus made this observation in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. He said, if I don't stop this, no flesh will be saved alive on the planet. No flesh will be saved alive. That's getting down to where it's pretty serious. Now, this third war coming up was plotted and planned by the Jesuits back in the 1880s. I think he identified it as 1880. They've been able to produce World War I and World War II. Now, what makes you think they'll be unable to produce World War III? And get this, they wanted World War I between Britain and Germany. They succeeded. They wanted World War II between the United States, Europe, and Germany. And they want World War III between the Christians and Jews. That's the Judeo-Christian ethic versus Islam. Now, take a look at where we are in Afghanistan and Iraq and ask yourself, are these guys on track for producing World War III? And they're just looking for an excuse right now to attack Iran. And notice, they're not getting ready to attack North Korea now to make the world safe for democracy, but they want to do it in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. Yeah, I'd say that they're right on track. One more little thing here concerning Revelation 18. In Revelation 18, 4, there's a little verse there that says, come out of my people that you be not partaker of her sins and that you don't suffer from the plagues. When this thing comes together, there's going to be plagues. This is going to get serious. This guy, Veith, now, is the first guy that I've seen that's able to explain Revelation and Daniel with the secret societies and international geopolitics and do the whole story. Now, there's another guy out there I've mentioned to you. His name is Michael J. Rood. Now, when it comes to explaining the scripture, this guy Rood's great, really good. I haven't got any notes here that Rood's in error. He has one doctrine that I don't subscribe to, but I don't know that it's an error. Rood subscribes to the crescent moon as the dating for the holy days. And I'm sitting there saying, no, I think it's the full moon. I think Psalm 81:3, code pled out, identifies the full moon as the correct new moon. Everybody follows the crescent moon, but the crescent moon, it goes back into paganism, and I think it's a pagan philosophy or practice. Now ask yourself, well, how many people practice the holy days to start with? And it's a handful. And so if you're practicing the holy days and you're following the crescent moon, the worst that can happen to you in the judgment is, hey, you got the dating incorrect. And your defense is, well, in Isaiah 28, you said, God, hey, you said that you were going to speak in another tongue and with stammering lips so that I'd stumble, fall backward, and be broken and snared and taken, and you succeeded beyond your wildest expectations. But now that you've told me I made a mistake, I don't really care whether I follow you the new moon by the crescent moon or by the full. That's your legal defense right there. Now, if you know or you are persuaded of that, and you've seen evidence of that, then if you believe something and you go contrary to it, well, then it's sin. And so I wouldn't tell somebody that believes fervently that the crescent moon is the timing mechanism. I wouldn't waste a lot of time trying to get you to practice the full moon. I don't really care what you do. But if you were to ask me the evidence that I've seen, and I got this from a guy named R.A. Eckert years ago, then I think Eckert's correct. And I checked him out, and he can prove, and I'm satisfied by the evidence and the proof that was offered that the full moon is correct and the crescent moon is false. Now, on the other hand, when we talk about these holy names, When I picked up fossilized customs and too long in the sun, it didn't take me long to come to the conclusion that Jesus and Christ are not the names of the Messiah, but rather it's something else, but I'm not fully persuaded that it's Yahweh or Yahshua. Now, maybe it is, and you guys might be smarter than I am, but I'm just not persuaded by the evidence that I've seen. But I am persuaded that that isn't his name. I'm just not persuaded as to what his name is. Now, in Matthew 1, the angel came up and told Mary, he says, you'll name him Emmanuel. What's his name? It's Emmanuel. Translated, that means God with us. I'm satisfied with Emmanuel. Elohim, that's another Hebrew name. I am that I am. Reverend, holy, and true. I mean, there's a number of titles that our Creator has that I think are more than sufficient for identification. And then when he comes back, one of the first things I'd like to ask him, could you pronounce your name, sir, so that I know how to address you? And I'm sure he'll tell me. 1844 at the final onslaught. That's number 232. This video deals with the culmination of the 2300-day-year prophecy of Daniel 8 and 9. And it shows that the same animosity which culminated in the crucifixion of the Messiah will be manifested at the close of time. In the corridors of secret societies and in New Age thinking, there is a movement to destroy those who believe in salvation in Christ alone and in the veracity of his word. Evidence is presented for the plans to eradicate those who stand for truth and righteousness. Now, there's a plan afoot to destroy all of Christianity. They're not aiming to destroy Islam. They're not going to kill all of you Muslims out there, but they want to kill every Christian that draws breath on the planet. And, according to the prophecies in Revelation, they are going to succeed. They're going to succeed for 1 hour. They're going to set up their one world government, and they're going to make it work for a short period of time. Now, that being the case, now that you know up front and in advance, what is the solution to the problem? It's located in Revelation 3:10. Write it down. You want to know what the answer to the riddle is? If you want to survive this, it's in Revelation 3:10, and he tells you plainly, he says, those that keep my commandments, now, I will protect. Those that don't, I won't. Bottom line, you practice the Ten Commandments or you practice the Ten Planks, and you got a choice to make. We've all made a choice so far. We've been practicing the Ten Planks. I woke up one day and I said, you know, this might not be one of our brighter moves. Maybe we ought to change. So when I see something that needs changing, I change it. It's halfway time here, boys and girls. Let me remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on Compact Desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package, so be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. The set of tapes, now I say tapes, they're a set of DVDs, they're called. You like to have a way to measure the impact that they have. I normally review books, and when I review a book, I give it a 1 in 20 or a 1 in 100 rating. Now, Solomon made this observation in Ecclesiastes. He said, of the writing of books, there is no end. And boys and girls, there are just tons of books out there. Most of them have no value whatsoever. It's like reading Harlequin, you know, it's just trash. Has no value. might be entertaining, but there's nothing to learn from. On the other hand, you'll pick up a book, and it's not necessarily rare, it's not necessarily unheard of, but you'll read about 20 books before you pick up one and you get the information that this book contains. I call that a 1 in 20. And then once in a while you run into a book that you've never seen before, you've never heard this before. It was something that was so new, so revelatory, that I rated a 1 in 100, and I've never done a rating on CDs. I have never reviewed people's videotapes and et cetera. I see a lot of them. They're difficult to review in that I can only tell you what I saw, and then you don't remember everything that you saw, and then what you saw you report incorrectly. That's why I like to have the hard copy in front of me, so that when I'm reading a paragraph and I'm reviewing the book and I've got it right in front of me, this is what the guy said and here it is word for word. So I've avoided that, and I have not been able to describe what I saw in these discs. I'm giving you the written hard copy of the description of it, but I'm going to rate this a 1 in 100. I can say, I believe I can say with a certainty, you have never seen anything like this. You have never heard this story before. Now, it may be that a few of you out there have heard this. Now, if you have, well, no more power to you. And as I pointed out in the series of programs, now all of us are at different levels, so I don't throw rocks at people because they don't believe what I believe. If they're not spreading false doctrine, you know, the guy's got a belief. He says, well, I believe the flood was local. Well, that's fine. I'm not going to throw rocks at you. Or I don't believe in Joshua's long day, and I believe in evolutionary philosophy. Hell, I believe in all of them. And it took some time to learn that that wasn't true. And you may live your life and never learn that those false doctrines are false. But, you know, that's where life is. Not all of us are going to understand everything all the time. But I think it's incumbent upon all of us to learn as much as possible, understand as much of the truth as possible, adhere to the truth whenever it's revealed to us, and then make vital decisions and choices based upon that truth, that understanding, that reality. And then if somebody wants to send me a letter and say, I think you're going to go to hell because you're married and you didn't divorce your last wife, well, that's fine. No problem. You can believe what you want. Your belief doesn't make it true, doesn't make it false. But this guy, Vice, now has hit the nail on the head. He's got a couple, three errors, and I'm going to reveal that in the next program, the last program. I'm going to say, now, wait a minute. I'm not on board with Vice on these doctrinal issues or these legal issues, and I'm going to tell you that. But just because he's in error on these 12 issues does not mean that he's in error on the hundreds of other issues that he's raised and answered. So when a guy's right, you know, 90% of the time, he's worth listening to. And this guy is right 90% of the time. I can only find 12 things that I disagreed with. And that was that. So if that's all that you've got to bitch about is 12 items over here that he's made a mistake on, you know, maybe one of these days, just like I have and you have and everybody else, he'll see that and he'll say, oh my God, look at this. I didn't know that. Well, now I do. All right, I got four more I got to cover here. So let's take a look. Total Onslaught, remember, Signs and Wonders. By the way, these guys are called AmazingDiscoveries.org. So just jot that down. It's all one word, AmazingDiscoveries.org. And their phone number is 1-866-572-9457. Once more, that's 1-866. So you start off with 1-866-572-9457. Signs and Wonders. He says the Bible warns of signs and wonders that will be performed at the end of time to deceive, if possible, the very elect. The thunderous events of our time, as seen through the New Age movement and the Marian movement, are portrayed in this multimedia lecture. The teachings of the apparitions are compared with those of the Bible. The two perspectives of the end time conflicting powers found in the book of Revelation are contrasted. Where is it all leading, and what is the grand finale? Very powerful lecture, but I want to point something out to you. Do you remember when Moses went into Pharaoh and he said, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go? He said he had a message from the Creator, and Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to do that. So Moses threw his staff down and it turned into a snake. And so Pharaoh said to his magicians over here, he says, well, what can you do? They threw their staffs down, and their staffs turned into snakes. Now, the more powerful of the two forces working here, you got two supernatural forces. Two miracles are being worked. You got Moses throws a stick on the ground, turns into a snake. You got the magicians throw their sticks on the ground, they turn into a snake. But Moses' snake swallowed the other guy's snake. And what Vice is pointing out here is that the Creator, that is God, the Creator God, you know, the guy that made the heavens and the earth, he's in control and controls both sides of this conflict. And he explains it. God has an agenda. He's got a plan. He's working this plan out. It's 7,100 years long. And in this 7,100-year plan, we're not at the end of it yet. We're just at the end of the first 6,000 years. And as a result of that, there's more to come. You know, don't go away, folks. There's more to come. And he's already told us the end from the beginning. He's already said, here's the end of Satan. Satan's going to do this, that, and another thing, but when it's all said and done, I'm going to kill that sucker and destroy him. So you know the end result, but there's some bad news in between. You and I are living in the end age. Now, I may die and not have to go through this. I'm old enough to die now, but you aren't. You're 25 years old. You're 35. You're 45. You may not be that. Now, dying's pretty serious business. And in the Middle Ages, you know, these forces, this Roman Catholicism, took people out, locked them up in barns, and then set the barns on fire. These are not nice people. Now, they may appear to be nice people in the 21st century, but they haven't been nice in the past, and I'm not so sure that they're going to be all that nice in the future. You know, you can take your chances. But there's a way out, and I pointed this out. It's in Revelation 3:10. If you didn't get that written down, write it down. There's four or five neat scriptures that tell you, hey, listen, now you can avoid this, but here's the way this game has to be played. All right, now history's coming climax. This guy is a historian, and he puts together the historical story that goes along with this. He can document from history and say, okay, well, let me show you what Eusebius had to say. This is what Socrates and Aristotle, and here's what the philosophers said. Here's what the historian said in ancient times. Here's what Bible prophecy said, and then here's where we're at today. Now, there may be some others out there that can do it, but I've heard of it. And that's why I rated this. If this was a book, I'd call it a 1 in 100. And I've never seen any series of DVDs or CDs that come close to this. Now, these CDs that you saw on the moon landings and these CDs that you saw concerning 9/11 and the trade towers falling and that building over there, that 42-story building that was a part of that false flag operation, those are good DVDs, and I don't deny it. And they're important, and they're educational, and it told us a story, and we got to see how our government is knifing us in the back. But this government, the United States of America, Canada, Australia, Queen Elizabeth, all these governments around the world are controlled by Satan. And these governments have now formed themselves into an alliance called the United Nations. Satan, Queen Elizabeth, Barack Obama, and all the nations of the world have amalgamated themselves with religion, Roman Catholicism, Islam, Buddhism, all these religions around the world, and they're all aiming to bring these religions together into a one-world religion, a one-world government, a one-world economy. And anybody that doesn't subscribe to the religion, the economy, and the government is dead on arrival. Now, that's what they're planning. And they're not hiding it. And Professor Vi points out from their own writing, this is the book. Here's the Georgia Guidestones. He's got the Georgia Guidestones. And he says, let's read it. Read them in a week, as they say down at the Blue Room. And then he read them off, and he said, okay, now who put this Georgia Guidestones up here? Who's behind that? Who financed that? And then let me show you the historicity of this. And then he backs off and says, now listen, this is my opinion. This is what these guys have said. This is the Club of Rome speaking. Here's the Bilderbergers. Here's David Rockefeller. Here's the citation. Here's the quotation. Here's Pope Pius XII. Here's Pope so-and-so. Here's Pope such-and-such. And here's what the head of the group says, and he's citing. That is proof beyond description. In fact, in the scripture, David brought that up. He said, out of your own mouth have you condemned yourself. That's the way the Bible identifies somebody that's guilty. When you confess, then it's out of your own mouth have you condemned yourself. All right, history's coming climax then. The coming of Christ at the end of the age has been prophesied in the Bible. And for centuries, people have been awaiting this great event. So what does the Bible really teach about the coming of Christ, and how does it compare to the array of teachings abroad in the world today? Is there a secret rapture? What happens to the dead when Christ returns? These questions and more are answered, and in this eye-opening study, God's final intervention in the affairs of men to vindicate those who have stood for truth and righteousness is clearly portrayed. And every one of these statements is cited from the Scripture. I mean, this guy is good. He is good. As I said before, I've only seen one other guy that's this good, and that's Michael J. Rood. If there's anything better than those two guys, I don't know who'd be. All right, the long-awaited millennium. So here's the millennium study, and I listened to his millennium story, and from what I read in Ezekiel 37 and Isaiah 65, I've got a little different time frame in my mind, but I liked his organization of the subject matter. He said, well, this is what I think. This is my opinion. Based upon what I'm reading here, this is the way I vision this. And then, of course, they portray that on the screen just like they would, you know, a television program, and they here's what we think. I don't quite subscribe to that, but then he may be right and I may be wrong. I couldn't tell you that he's wrong, and I'm not here to tell that. And so when you view this, you may have a different construction of it. And for you out there that are holy name people, this guy's pretty hot and heavy on Jesus and Christ. Be patient with him. You know, he hasn't gotten to the point yet that he's connected Jesus with Zeus and Christos with Krishna. And when I first saw that, I was shocked and dumbfounded. I said, well, how can this be? How can all of these theologians out here be this wrong? Well, the answer is all these theologians out here are working with the government, with Satan, for the express purpose of deceiving you. That's the agenda. That's the purpose behind it. And, of course, you know, the conventional Joe Sixpack going to church on Wednesday and Sunday, see, he can't see that. He'll reject it out of hand. Remember, the wicked will do wickedly, and they will not understand. To understand this, you have to practice the law. A good understanding of all day will do his commandments. So if you will not obey God and keep his commandments, you're not going to understand this. Turn the dial and go get some heavy acid rock or something. You know? Go listen to something that's enjoyable. Don't listen to this. But on the other hand, you know, if you're sitting there saying, I would like to understand this Daniel 12 prophecy. I'd like to understand this prophetic event here in Revelation. This guy can code plead this out. I couldn't. I didn't. I didn't have it code plead out. Some of it I did. Most of it I hadn't, and I hadn't seen, didn't know that this was available. Now that I see it, I'm very enthusiastically reporting it to you. All right, next item over here, the long-awaited millennium. The world is waiting for the millennium of peace in which Christ will set up his kingdom, and all evil will cease. When will be the ushering in of this true millennium? And what does the Bible really teach about the millennium in which the saints will judge the world? And how does this compare with the world that is completely converted according to the most current renditions of this subject? Well, these and other issues are revealed, and we're given a glimpse of this new world and the kingdom of Christ, and there will be no more death, nor pain, nor suffering. The Apostle Paul made an observation here. He said, eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard what I have in store for you. After this millennium is over, and once this thing gets set up, at some point in the future, God's going to set us down and say, okay, now, you're probably wanting to know why I created the heavens and the earth. You probably are curious to know, why did I create mankind? And what is the ultimate purpose here? Where are we going with this? If you're going to get eternal life, how are you going to spend the rest of eternity? What are you going to be doing? Are you going to be playing a harp on a cloud? Are you going to be sitting here with your mouth agape, you know, gazing at God sitting on his throne for millions of years on end? Or, you know, is there something constructive to do? Is there useful, productive, meaningful work? Are we going out and create and do things? Now, Jesus made this observation one time. He said, I work and my Father works. And what is their work? They are creators. They're busy working. They're doing things. They're creating things. They're not destroyers. They're not tearing things down. They're creating and building up and making new things. So at that time, I'm sure that he's going to clue us in. Meanwhile, back on the farm, just speculation. You know, just here's a little Georgie Gordon sitting here saying, I think we're going out into the universe, and I think we're going to colonize it, and I think we're going to create and produce out there. That's a big piece of real estate. There's a lot of people that he's creating. It's in the trillions. We know it's way past billions. Hell, we got 7 billion people in the world today. If you were to go back to 1600, there was 1 billion people. They're all dead. And then 2 billion people were born to take their place, and they're all dead. And then 4 billion people were born to take their place, and they're all dead. And now we're pushing 8 billion people in the world, and they're all alive. We'll just go back 8, 7, you know, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, add those up. You know, hell, you're talking about 100 billion people right there. And then people have been born and died on this planet. Now carry that out with geometric progression, and you find that billions and billions of people have been born, lived, and died on this planet. What did God have in mind for all of those millions and billions of Chinese that have lived and never heard the only name under heaven whereby men may be saved? Huh? What do you think? Had to have some kind of a game plan for all those people. And indeed, he does, and there's a game plan revealed here in the Scripture. Last item, number 236. He says, the greatest invitation is to surrender all and to follow Christ. Jesus commissioned his disciples to preach the gospel and to baptize those who believed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But did he mean infant or adult baptism? Is there a right way to baptize? Sprinkling, pouring, immersion? Or does it even matter? What difference does it make? So what does the Bible reveal about this controversial issue of baptism, the celebration of Christ's resurrection? All of you Baptists out there will be excited to see number 236, that he's recommending immersion, which is correct, and we don't deny it. All right, now with that much out of the way, I've only got a couple, 3 minutes over here, so let me revisit yesterday's program, and I told you about a guy named Stephen Collins. He wrote a series of books here on the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel found. Christians as a whole, the average Joe Sixpack, rejects the idea that the Ten Tribes of Israel, the Lost Ten Tribes, can be identified in modern times right now, like the United States, France, England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, Iceland, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Rhodesia. Well, all of them can be. And here's the 5 books. But I want to point out 2 more books. Remember, Stephen Collins, and you can get that from... I'll give you the name and number here again one more time. It's called CPA Book Publisher. I got a phone number here. It's 503-668-4977. It's P.O. Box 596, Boring, Oregon, 9-7-009. There's another guy over here by the name of Barry Fell. He was an archaeologist, and he was an epigrapher, historian, and he died a few years back. But he discovered that these Israelites had discovered the New World and were mining over here, and they have discovered Roman coins, Phoenician coins that date back to 1000 BC. You know, during the days of Solomon and David, they discovered them over here in the United States. They've also got the Ten Commandments over here in New Mexico and so on. These people were over here a long time before Columbus got here, a long time before Eric the Red got over here. The book is called America B.C., Druids in Vermont, Phoenicians in Iowa, Before the Time of Julius Caesar by Barry Fell. It's it's really revelatory. Pocket Books is the publisher. 1976 first came out. I think you can get this book today at Barnes & Noble. If you can't, go to bravenewbookstore.com. Now, there's a second one here I want to tell you about. It's In Plain Sight by Gloria Farley. She was a compatriot of Barry Fell. To order copies of this book, contact the author at P.O. Box 717, Hevener, Oklahoma. That's H-E-A-V-E-N-E-R. Okay, 74937. $37 plus $4 shipping and handling. Gloria Farley. Fifth printing, Sheridan Books, Chelsea, Michigan. Sheridan Books, Chelsea, Michigan. Gloria Farley died last year. I doubt if you can get it from her directly. But here's the address. Sheridan Books, Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, Michigan. Those two books will corroborate the lost 10 tribes of Israel found and give you some history that you've never heard before. Hey, I'm out of time. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk on the Law Hour website. Is updated every week, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.